This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Prison time for former CEO.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. He used to be the chief executive of Computer Associates International, one of the world's biggest software companies. But yesterday, 44-year-old Sanjay Kumar was sentenced to 12 years in prison. He was also fined $8 million in an accounting fraud scandal estimated to have cost investors $400 million. Securities attorney Lance Kimmel.
Cooking the books, manipulating revenue to meet street expectations, to keep the stock price up, is not the reason that management is in place. These people are supposed to be looking out for the common good, and it's a misguided notion, and it's proved to be an ineffective defense across the board from one CEO to another who has been found guilty. To say that he was doing all of these things because he actually thought this was in the best interests of the company.
According to the indictment, Kumar orchestrated a plot to report more than $2 billion in false revenue between 1999 and 2000. Kumar said he knew he was wrong and that there was no excuse for his conduct. How big is Tuesday's election? Well, the Nielsen ratings folks put it in perspective. Nearly 943,000 political ads aired on television from August 1st to October 15th. That's a 31% jump over the same period 4 years ago. You don't usually hear about a company trying to push its way into a lawsuit, but that's exactly what Visa will do in a New York courtroom today. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Visa isn't everywhere it wants to be. Today, the company will try to get in on a breach of contract lawsuit MasterCard filed against soccer's governing body, FIFA. MasterCard charges FIFA wrongly handed over sponsorship of the World Cup to Visa, and Visa seems to feel it can do a better job of defending its rights if it's a party to the case. Terry Lefton, editor of the Sports Business Journal, says the World Cup is the prize of all sports sponsorships.
It's the biggest and the most expensive sports sponsorship on the planet, and it's one of the few that's global.
That means payment card companies get big play in developing markets like Latin America and Asia. Some estimates put the costs of the sponsorship at $35 million a year, compared to $20 million for the Olympics. Lefton says you just need to look at the court case to see this sponsorship's value to the companies.
Think of how much the lawyers are costing here. And you know what? The lawyers probably don't take MasterCard or Visa.
I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The largest telecommunications merger is still on hold. AT&T and Bell South have been trying to connect in a deal valued at $83 billion, but they keep getting a busy signal from the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC was supposed to vote today on whether to approve the merger. But for the third time in a month, it delayed the decision, still apparently looking for conditions to place on the deal. The vote hasn't been rescheduled. The antitrust division of the Justice Department approved the deal without conditions in early October, but that move angered two Democratic commissioners. Well, another down day for the market on Thursday. The Dow fell 12 points to 12,018. The NASDAQ was flat at 2334. The S&P also flat at 1367. And in Tokyo, no activity. The markets closed because it's Culture Day. It's a national holiday. And this is Marketplace. Organic foods retailer Whole Foods is trying to breathe a bit of fresh air into the wind power industry. Starting this week, it's selling $5 or $15 wind power cards, Nancy Marshall Ginzer reports.
Here's the idea. You buy a card to offset the carbon-based electricity you use every month. The money goes to the wind power industry. In turn, wind farms are supposed to increase their contributions to the power grid. Whole Foods' Michael Bizanson acknowledges customers might be skeptical of what is essentially a donation program.
It is something that is a little, you know, a little airy-fairy for folks. That's fine. If we can raise the awareness, then we're doing a good thing.
Whole Foods is already buying wind power energy credits to offset its energy use. Will its customers share its sense of civic duty? The answer to that, of course, is blowing in the wind. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It started out as your garden variety mega deal. Web search engine giant Google buys a popular video website YouTube for $1.6 billion. That was last month. Now, Google is scrambling. The Financial Times is reporting the search engine is frantically trying to reach deals with a number of media companies like CBS and Viacom. Google is attempting to head off possible lawsuits over copyright infringement by offering tens of millions of dollars to get the right to repurpose the content of those companies on YouTube. The FT says some media executives are speculating that if Google fails in its effort, YouTube could face the same fate as Napster. And then there's also the question of whether these media companies want to help Google dominate online video. Mike Spire is a managing editor for Daily Variety. I asked him if this was yet another kind of old media versus new media fight. You know, the same kind of fear the film industry had about VCRs or the music industry had about buying music on the internet.
You'd certainly think that all those things that you just brought up would prove that instead of running from technology, that all the old media companies, in this case television, would embrace technology. And they want to. The problem is nobody knows anything about how to make money online. Still, they're doing better than they were 8 years ago and 6 years ago. They have models that are working, something like a Netflix, something like a Google. They have companies that you can look to now. The problem is these TV companies are so used to having control, and they don't want to give up that control. And they want to, if they do that, they want to make sure that there's monetization to be had, and right now there isn't. So I think they will embrace it, but they need proof that there will be money to be made.
They need more time.
They need more time.
It makes me wonder if some of these old media companies wouldn't have thought about buying YouTube, but Google sort of beat them to the punch.
Google, first of all, has the ability share-wise to offer such an exorbitant amount of money, and that's what they did. I think it was over $1 billion, and a lot of that, of course, was shares. And so they could do that. The second thing is, remember the Time Warner AOL deal? A lot of old media companies are just scared. They'll say that there's not enough money to be made. They'll say that they don't know about content. They'll use all these reasons. And then in the meantime, Google has accumulated, so far, a lot of small companies, but this was obviously their biggest purchase, and they take the risk, and whether it pays off or not, we'll see. But so far, people think it will. It's just in terms of making the money. They'll get the eyeballs. It's in terms of making the money.
YouTube just announced it hopes to launch a service for wireless devices within a year. How do you think that'll go?
It's certainly the next evolution. I mean, BlackBerries, cell phones, iPods, screens are getting different. People are getting used to watching things, at least in America. I mean, in Europe and in Asia, people have been watching that stuff for a while on their cell phones. But in America, it's starting to evolve. And you'd think that, of course, watching your home videos, watching film promotions, television show promotions on your cell phones is the next evolution. And, of course, Google now with YouTube is the leader in that. So of all the companies to do it, that's the one. And of all the evolutions to have, that's the one as well.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Sometimes the news.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.